Goedemorgen. Good morning. This morning, not very long word. It depends how fast you're going to listen. But I'd like to just give a foundation for a very short teaching. But I want you to get the foundation. For some of you, it will be well known. For others, it might be a bit new. But I want to stress something. Like I always say, we read the Bible over and over again, the same verses over and over again. One day when we read it again, suddenly something new comes off the page. And that happened to me with Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 13. I'm not going to read all of it. But Ephesians 4, from verse 11, talks about the fivefold ministries, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to bring the body to the united them, bring them into agreement in faith. To bring them to, let me read that. I want to read that accurately so that we don't miss something here. It says here, he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and this is what their purpose was. And he gave them to for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we at all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. I read that for the first time in many years. I read that in the King James Version. And something struck me there. In the King James it says, to bring Christ which is a many-membered body. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 explains what Christ is. As the body, the physical body is one and yet has many members, so also is Christ. So Christ is a many-membered body. But we have to grow up unto the perfect man. The perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Basically, this is my heart's burden. If the fivefold ministries which are multiplying across the earth can keep this in mind, that's what we call to do. Not to build mega churches or to have mega programs or have mega music and all those things. Nothing wrong with it. But that shouldn't be our focus. Our focus is to equip the saints to grow up to that perfect man, the corporate man called Jesus Christ, of which Jesus, of course, is the head. And in the meantime, the church carries on proclaiming dates for the rapture, dates for the end of the world, and all these dates come and go and nothing happened. Of course, there must always be a waiting and watching in us for his appearing. That's what the Bible says in Peter. We must wait for his appearing. Now, I want to break that word open for those of us that haven't heard it before. But this is not for the appearing of modern evangelical theology. When many Christians read the word appearing, they only see one thing: second coming, end of the world. But there's something that has to happen first. That appearing, this glorious appearing, must first of all be manifested in the saints. This glorious appearing must first manifest in the saints. Go and chew on that. And this is the mandate of the fivefold ministries. And I link this with what is happening worldwide now, the groaning of creation. The groaning of creation. Romans 8 talks about, for the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing, or you can put in there, the unveiling, or the appearing. It says, creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth until now. I can go on and on what these groanings are like in the world. You've got to be blind not to notice that there's something crying in creation. And what are they crying for? What is the groaning about? It's to see the manifestation of the sons. Now, we have to qualify what we say with it. We have to see the manifestation or the unveiling of the Son, who is Jesus, the Son, in the sons. Here we are seeing the Christ. There's an appearing that has to take place. And I want to, again, explain to you, and I heard somebody else say this again, repetition is the mother of learning. So when I repeat things over the weeks and the months and the years, please just take it. Because you've got to take it and make it your own. The word revelation means to uncover, to unveil what is. Revelation is not a future term. It's to show what is. Unveil. Are we there? Unwrap. That's what the word revelation means. One day we're going to fully understand, and I know there's a lot of teachings on this theme, and I echo that myself. Many of the things we pray for have already been given, is already ours, but we're too blind to see it. That's why we need a revelation, an uncovering, an unveiling of what is. Dr. William Hinn said something which I often quote about prayer. What is effective prayer? What is effective prayer? Effective prayer is praying for that which is. Pray for that which is, because God views everything from the finish and He can see what is. And to quote my favorite verse in Ecclesiastes 3, says, whatever was, is, whatever will be, is. And that's how it always is with God. One of the biggest mistakes Christians make is they always postpone to the future. Hulle stel uit. Hulle bid vir iets wat nog moet gebeur, en dan het dit eintlik klaar gebeur, maar ons sien dit nie. Because God put eternity in the heart of every man. Right, let me go on. I'm just laying a foundation. Now, to link this with where we've been in the last few weeks, Luke 9, verse 23. He was saying to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, this is Jesus, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Daar is 'n kruis wat elke Christen elke dag moet opneem om hom te volg. And don't confuse your cross with the cross on Calvary. Because that's talking about the finished works in Jesus. But Jesus said, you must take up your cross daily and follow me. The next verse explains it a bit better. Verse 24. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. Ek weet ons al baie keer daai ene verby lees. Kyk liewester gou na 'n ander belofte. Want hierdie een is 'n bietjie konfronterend. Let me read it again. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. You know, there's so much here, but I'm just going to touch and throw some seeds. Okay, when 1 Peter 4 verse 13 says, see, we must identify and be partakers in his sufferings. The Bible is clear about that. Yeah. Right? We must partake in his sufferings. Yeah, there's so many things flying around, but I want to focus here. 1 Peter 4:13. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exaltation. Get it? Keep on rejoicing if you share the sufferings of Christ, so that at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exaltation. Colossians 3 verse 4 opens it up a bit further. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, when Christ, who is our life, not one day will be, when Christ is revealed, guess what? We will be revealed with him in glory. In fact, the will be doesn't belong in the original language. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, this is not talking about the second coming yet. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also are revealed with him in glory. Let that sink in. There's a oneness, there's an integration taking place, and that's why I'm drawing from Ephesians 4, verse 11. We must grow up together into that perfect man, that full stature of Christ. And unfortunately, the church is divided. 41,000 Christian denominations in the world. I don't even know how many independent churches in the world. We're called to be one family. In fact, we are one family. If we're in Christ, we are one family. But we mustn't allow divisions to keep us apart from each other. John 12, verse 24, one of my favorites in the Message translation. Listen carefully, unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. This is what Christ did. If Christ didn't die, there would not have been a corporate body of Christ. If he didn't die. But he was like that seed that died and to reproduce himself many times over. Get that now. Get that. Let me read again. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world. There we go. You want to save your life, you're going to lose it. If you lose yourself, your life, you will win. Unless that wheat is in the ground, dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. When Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected, he reproduced himself many times over. We are part of the many-membered Christ. Let that become part of your DNA. Now, Romans 6 verse 5 gives us a key to understand this better, the verse I've just read in John 12. So Romans 6 verse 5 says, for if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. It's a matter of dying in order to gain life. But let me say this. If we have become, another translation says, if we have been planted together, it's not just the seed, we have died with Christ. Come on, can you, because we sometimes forget that we were crucified with him and we were raised with him. Don't separate yourself, isolate yourself from the reality of this truth. Now, there's an interesting little story that I come across I want to tell you about. Very interesting. It's about a dog. And it made me miss my dog that is somewhere in a dog's heaven. But listen to this. This dog, his name was Jack, had a master who loved his dog. And his master took him for a walk every day on a leash. Right? On a leash, big dog. One day, he took the leash off. And the next moment, the dog took off. Irikatu, Daikatu, everywhere, this dog. But the dog soon found out that it's not safe out there. The dog found out that he's not safe anymore. And he ran back to his master to walk with his master again, this time without a leash. And he never left his master again without a leash. Great eye built in your corp. Many Christians are like that. They would rather live under the law. Machni, muni, don't touch, don't this, don't this. And they will walk under the law, but they're walking with God. When we were born again, the leash was taken off. We're not living according to law anymore. We now are captives of love. That's why I enjoyed that sermon of that bishop yesterday. What love is. Many Christians walk with God because they're scared when they leave God, they're in trouble. That's not the way to walk with God. See, it takes a mind change. But we'll get there in a minute. God is busy. And in our early walk, we tried to run on His highway. We were still dominated by a legal spirit. Don't touch, don't do this, don't do that. But then we discovered there was actually no chain in this new walk as mature sons. We are not on a leash anymore. In this new bond, the dog found all the liberty he needed. How's that? All the liberty he needed without a chain. Now, I want to take a little detour and I want a photo of the mind. Because your mind is like a wild dog. I want you to get that. Many people confuse the brain with the mind. Your brain is in your head. Your brain is matter. But your mind is thoughts. Can you see that? Sy lyk so onskuldig, maar kyk waaraan dink sy, ek weet nie wat alles sy dink. We don't know. Your mind is where it all starts going wrong. Do you agree with me? Sin begins where? In the mind. If you cannot train your mind, he will be like a wild dog on the run. And he will bring you into trouble. Before you know it, you will commit something wrong. James 1 says, But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Lust can be lust after anything, different things. You can lust after a woman or a man, or you can lust after a car or money or whatever. Lust, it begins in the mind. But listen, everyone that is tempted is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. That's why the Bible says, therefore set your mind on the things above, which means above this world with all its temptations. Folks, can I spend this whole morning just grabbing this. Our minds must be renewed. The spirit of our minds must be renewed. Ephesians 4:23, Romans 12. Be transformed in your mind. Your mind is like a dog. Runs after this. Get your mind to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Train your mind. Get this. Train your mind that you don't always have to run after him. He will be submissive. He will be subjected to the will of God and the thoughts of God. That's why worship is such a good thing, to fill yourself with worship. I love that little song of Julie True. Let my worship. How does it say? Let my life be worship unto you. All I say and all I do, let my life be praised to you. I sing that song so many times during the day. Let my life be worship to you. Set your mind on the things from above. All sins start in the mind. Bring that dog under control by the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes you get people after the meeting, when the meeting's over, they come to you and say, Pastor, ooh, what a word. I'm going to try my best to walk in this word. Forget it. If you're going to try, you're still the center. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Let God be the center. We must come back to God's side, like Jack, the dog. Come back to the side of God. Convinced that your self-willed, your efforts and adventures have never realized anything for God. Only for ourselves. You must make a deliberate choice to be led by the Spirit of God. That's why I love Romans 8 verse 14. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, which means mature children of God, mature saints. But you must be led by the Spirit of God. Get this, make this a second nature practice, if I can use that word. Something you always do before making a decision, before making a choice, be led by the Spirit of God. Stand still. Before you do something weird and funny, be led by the Spirit of God. Watch out for self-will. Now, I have another story, and this one is just as good. Listen to this story. In the days of slave market, when they sold slaves, remember in America, probably other nations as well, they imported huge boats full of African slaves. They forced them into the boat, took them to America, and then they have auctions. They put these men from Africa on an auction. Can you imagine that? On an auction. And there's an auctioneer, and he's waiting for who's going to bid the highest. And there was this young lad. He didn't look good at all. He did not look good. He was not clean, never looked after well, skinny. He didn't look good. And his parents were sold, chuk, chop, chop. So that his parents were sold by some bidder. And then a strange thing happened. The auctioneer is waiting for offers on this young lad. And most of the people are like, we will no die, oak equip. But there was one man that kept bidding. And you know, auctions, the guy says so much, the other one, bit more. And suddenly everybody else stopped making a bid. But this one guy went one step further and offered an enormous sum of money for this young slave. The crowd was blown away. They couldn't understand what was the reason. But then came the surprise. When this young guy was loosed from his chains and stepped out into the free world, this man who bought him gave him a note into his hand. Because normally, when they bought somebody, that somebody belonged to the buyer. As ek 'n slaaf gekoop het, is hy nou my slaaf. But this man took a little note and stuffed it into his hand. And what it says is, you are free now. You can do what you want. This guy looked. He's free. Is that freedom? He looked at his parents. Shall he go to his parents? He said, no. And he didn't know what to do. He couldn't believe that he was bought for such a high price and now he's free. Guess what he finally did? He went right next to the man who bought him and he said, I am yours. Nobody will take me away from you. Now, if that doesn't touch you, I don't know what will. Can you imagine that old story that took place there? Now, I want to show you a little diagram. And with that, I want to conclude. Look at this diagram. In order for us to become what God wants us to become part of this perfect man called the Christ in the earth, this body of Christ, in order for that to happen, we have to learn to live under a new government. Get that? Under a new government. Now watch. Here's captivity. You remember this story here? That's the fall of man, and there's the cross in the middle. Adam and Eve fell, humanity fell, but Jesus came and rescued humanity. But many people are still in captivity, right there, right at the bottom. Even though the price may have been paid, they're still there. Hulle het nie uitgekom nie. But every person has three choices on which level do you want to live. On which level do you want to live? There are three choices. 1, 2, and 3. You can be set free, and many Christians have been set free, but they stop there. They enjoy their freedom. They enjoy their freedom, and they love the message of grace. I can do what I want. Grace covers me. Yeah. But that is not real freedom. You've got to move to the third level and become a love captive. A love captive. Jy's 'n slaaf van liefde. And you are there because you love your master who paid the price for you. You have a choice of three levels of life. You can stay under bondage. Or you become free, but you don't know how to handle your freedom. Eventually you love the freedom. I can do what I want. Or you can choose to become a love slave or a love captive. Folks, if we can get this morning, then I'm happy the message has touched your hearts. Become a love captive. Serve God because you love Him, not because you're scared of Him. You're scared of judgment or scared of this. You love God and you know that He loves you. We've sang beautiful songs this morning about God who loves us. Jesus brought heaven down. He brought heaven down. Folks, I want to leave this message with you. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, we will be revealed with Him. We'll be revealed with Him because we're part of His family. Can we stand together, please? Our goal should be, and I want to pray for this, our goal should be to live under a new government. Be led by the Spirit of God, not by your own whims and wishes. That's not the right freedom. The highest level of freedom is to be a love captive. And this morning, Father, I pray for each one of us here that the word will penetrate every heart and that there will be a commitment in each of our hearts to have the spirit of our mind renewed. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind so that we make the right choices and we are led daily by the Spirit of God. That's what it means to live under a new government. Amen. God bless you as you take this word to heart. Walk with God. Amen. God bless you. Let's enjoy some fellowship.